Welcome to Sue Martin, one of our experienced EKU authors, who has authored the EKU 10 module on complex regional pain syndrome, which is based on a Royal College of Physicians guideline published in 2011. So Sue, if you can just give us a bit of background about yourself and about your EKU authorship.
Hi Tom. Yes, I've been a GP since 1991. Didn't take me long to work out that I really didn't know very much about rheumatology. So for my own education, really, I went off and did the diploma in rheumatology and found it really isn't that difficult. And then in 2007, I was fortunate enough to land gypsy role in rheumatology, which I've been doing ever since. And this guideline was when I snapped up, really. Complex regional pain syndrome is something I've seen a few times, both as a GP and as a gypsy. And it's one of these things that tends to perplex people. They don't really know what's going on. The patient very often feels that doctors think they're a bit mad because there's not very much to see and the hand just won't move. But if you're aware to the diagnosis and you're able to say to the patient, look, this is what you've got, it is very, very rewarding. You've usually got a very, very grateful patient on your hands, and there's something you can offer them to make them better. So I was really quite pleased to be doing this one.
I think I've seen the diagnosis before, but I don't know if I've ever made that diagnosis myself. I'm just wondering whether it's just something that wasn't on my radar and I might have missed it.
It's possible. To be honest, I've not seen it that often. Probably both as being a gypsy and as being a GP, I think I've seen it 3 times. But I'm on the lookout for it because I've seen it before and I know what I'm looking for. All of those patients had seen other doctors who didn't know what was wrong with them. So it may well, not saying it's a common condition, but it is one of these things that very often doctors just don't know what's wrong. It doesn't make sense. Complex regional pain syndrome isn't on the radar, so they don't necessarily pick it up.
Could you describe a bit about what the actual diagnosis means or how you make that diagnosis?
Well, as I say, largely it's a case of being aware of it in the first place, because to start with, there may not be a lot to see. The guidance does give a very clear diagnostic criteria, the Budapest criteria, which to be honest I wasn't aware of before, so that's nice, I've learned something there. But very often the patient will come in complaining of odd neurological symptoms in the distal part of the limb usually. Allodynia is quite a good one, so non-painful stimuli will be causing than pain. I've experienced this myself and it's horrible. I had a minor injury to my arm, and in that area, any water that splashed on that, it felt like someone had flicked hot lead at me. But there's nothing to see, perfectly normal skin. There may also be other problems. The skin might be slightly discoloured. The hand or the foot, whatever part is affected, may just not work properly. They'll say, you know, I feel clumsy. The case that I actually put in this EKU was based on a case I saw in everyday general practice of a secretary who'd knocked her elbow, and 3 weeks down the line she was just finding that she couldn't type anymore with the right hand. The left hand was functioning fine, but you know, I don't know what's wrong with it just won't move properly. Motor testing, it's absolutely fine, she's got the strength, it's just clumsy. Again, she'd seen two other doctors who didn't know what was wrong, and she said, I think they think I'm mad. But by the time she saw me, she did actually start to have slight swelling. She had colour changes in the skin, and say, because I'm clued into it, the diagnosis was obvious. And she's actually done very well with physiotherapy and simple painkillers. So be alert. The classic signs, the early signs, are allodynia usually and a little bit of clumsiness. The things you can see tend to come slightly later. But just be alert to those things. Could this be an early complex regional pain syndrome?
Figures I read in your module say 9% there's no cause before the complex renal pain syndrome, but the majority, there's kind of some injury or post-surgical. Yeah. So anyone, I guess, who's had a minor injury or something, and they complain of the symptoms you're describing, think
Absolutely.
About this.
And very often it is something, minor injuries. Say this lady just knocked her elbow on a doorknob going through a door. The last gentleman I saw, it actually followed on from a bout of cellulitis. Now, why should that cause nerve dysfunction in the hand afterwards? It doesn't make sense, but it happens.
From what I'm reading, we don't fully understand the causative process, but we know it's kind of linked with surgery or injuries, minor injuries. Figures I read maybe affects up to 10% or more of patients after a fracture. The other figure I read was that 75% of cases resolve spontaneously. So probably a lot of it, in terms of our symptom iceberg, probably the minor ones, people just brush it off as like healing after the fracture or something. So it's only the more severe ones that we might see where they've got functional impairment. I also read some figures that it's more common in women, 3 to 4 times more common in women than men.
Yeah.
And over 50 is more common as well.
Certainly most of the cases I've seen have been older patients, and I've seen more women than men, so that would fit. I wasn't aware, I have to say, of all these, this sort of iceberg of minor cases. So that was interesting, and it's nice if you do see them early, I think, to be able to say, look, chances are this will just get better, keep using it, don't, whatever you do, immobilise your arm.
So in terms of treatment, so that's a kind of an important thing, I guess, to advise patients to continue to use the limb if possible. And then also you had quite a lot of self-care advice, including stroking the limb or trying to utilise it, and I guess possibly physio referral.
I think the physiotherapy referral is the crucial point. You need to get your physio in as soon as possible. It's not really a condition where you can use watchful waiting, because the natural thing for a lot of people to do is, if something's hurting and it's not working, is don't use it. And that's, you need somebody to get in there and encourage them to do exactly the opposite, and to show them some useful physiotherapy techniques that they can use when they're in pain.
Thinking about kind of waiting list for physio, now, I don't know if you like me, are having increased waits for physio. So I'm just thinking if 75% are going to resolve spontaneously, actually, of course, we can give a lot of advice, and maybe we do the referral, but maybe it might even get better before they even see a physio in some patients.
In an ideal world, that would be absolutely lovely. But I think in a lot of cases, the wait for the GP is going up as well.
Yeah.
So you may well find that a lot of the minor cases have sort of got better before they come to see us.
You mentioned risks in there, that patients that go on to develop more chronic pain. And
the yellow flags.
A lot of that kind of linked with psychological distress and in certain patients and when it's not resolving. So I guess we have to have, from what you're saying, have eyes open and to those ones which might not settle and develop into a chronic neuropathic pain.
Those patients, obviously, you'll need to try hard to engage them early and to encourage them to engage in their own treatment.
Think about a theoretical patient that presents maybe with a minor injury, like the patient you had with her arm, complaining of the symptoms she's describing. What kind of differential should we think about?
I suppose with the minor injury, it depends on the sorts of structures that may have been damaged. Obviously, the obvious one with the elbow is this an ulnar nerve problem? But yes, I think what you have to do is just be very, very careful with your history taking. Listen to the patient and think about what questions you can ask that will clarify exactly what's going on here. Peripheral nerve damage is usually quite specific in its distribution, and careful questioning and examination should rule things like that out. But it can be very difficult. Patients don't always give you the nice, clear answers that you want.
Yeah.
So, yes, you need to be aware that there are other possibilities. It could simply be underlying muscle trauma or some bleeding into the muscles. It could be certainly with this gentleman who came to see us after his cellulitis, a question of could this be a rheumatoid-type process be going on. And you could see why they thought that, because it was predominantly his knuckles that were swelling, and one of the symptoms they can get is pain on moving the joints. So, again, it basically just comes down to very, very careful history taking and know your medicine.
So what you're saying is the motor should all be fine?
There should be no, well, assuming obviously they haven't got nerve damage, which is one of the categories complex regional pain syndrome. But yes, assuming there is no major nerve damage, there shouldn't really be an obvious motor deficit. It's more just that there's a slight dysfunction, more like a hypokinesia, I suppose, where they're just not using the limb as much as they should. But on formal testing, it actually works fine.
In that kind of hypothesised case, if that happened, I guess you'd advise, you think it's this, probably it's going to get better. In terms of pain management, would you follow usual pain management or?
Yes, certainly normal pain management. If there's any suggestion that there may be some soft tissue injury, then obviously you might think about non-steroidal anti-inflammatories rather than paracetamol or paracetamol and codeine. But certainly, again, think about adding in medicines for neuropathic pain earlier rather than late. Maybe not the first time you see them, but if things aren't going the way you'd like it, if they're not improving, and certainly if at 3 weeks they're getting worse, I think you need to be thinking about adding those in fairly quickly.
And I guess discussing about the pros and cons of those, I mean, probably most of us are used to that kind of discussion with patients with chronic back pain and sciatica and other pains about maybe amitriptyline or gabapentin or pregabalin and initiating those. So that's kind of, I guess that's part of that process as well, is feeling confident in those medications and advising patients on them and the pros and cons.
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely.
And I guess then in that hypothesised patient, early physio referral if you can get it, and some self-care advice.
Yeah, and it may be that these are the sorts of cases where you can actually just ring up your physio department and say, look, I think I'm fairly sure I've got a complex regional pain syndrome here. How soon can you see them, rather than just letting your letter disappear off into the ether?
And which patients would you refer to?
Probably all but the very mildest cases. You probably need to be asking for someone to see them, whether it's the rheumatologists in your area, whether it's the orthopaedics, whether it's the pain people, for the simple reason we don't see them that often, and it can be difficult to be sure. Any other than the very simple ones that may well just get better anyway without you doing anything, you need a very clear specialist diagnosis and early treatment. And you need, I think, personally, someone who knows what they're doing with that, not somebody who read about that once a few years ago.
Any other kind of key take-home messages from this module, or kind of key to summarise kind of key things that you think cold-faced GP should know?
Right, well, I can't stress more, really. It's just a case of just keep an open mind. If patients have got rather odd localised neurological symptoms, could it be complex regional pain syndrome? That I think has to be the big take-home message, because it's the one thing you can actually do something about, because let's face it, a lot of neurological conditions you can't do very much about. If you think it may be that, look into it quickly and act quickly.
Thanks very much, Sue. Appreciate your time today. You were listening to EKU 10 podcasts from the Royal College of General Practitioners.